Up first, Sochi Talks is a program from the Southern Ohio Council on Higher Education designed to enlighten the world with knowledge from primarily institutions of higher education in Southwest Ohio. Whether you're in school or have kids in college, I think you'll be interested in today's topic from Sue Palenka, a librarian at Wright State University, The Rise of Digital Textbooks.
Today I wanted to discuss with you digital textbooks and the cost of textbooks. So our current textbook system as it exists is basically broken. We have textbooks that are priced at about $200, and we have students that can't afford these textbooks. As a result, students try to borrow textbooks either from the library or from a friend, and many times when they borrow these, they can't get the current edition. It ends up being an older one, which isn't very helpful for the classroom. They try and purchase a used copy, or they go without the textbook. And neither of these options that students are using provide any revenue to the publishers, who have spent a lot of money investing in textbooks. So as a result, the price keeps going higher to compensate for fewer students purchasing the textbook. So what do we do about this horrible catch-22 that we're in? That's the question. And so in some way, shape, or form, digital textbooks could assist and make these prices a little lower, or perhaps take away the cost, and I'll explain some of that. First, I want to give a little bit of background information, just some statistics on textbooks. Tuition and textbooks are rising at twice the rate of inflation as general inflation. Students in two-year public colleges found that 72% of their expenses were on textbooks. And some are saying that 20% of students aren't even buying the textbook at all for their course. Studies are showing that finances are dictating the college and career choices of many students. And all of this just goes into one big mess, as far as I'm concerned, with textbooks. Some students are spending up to $900 a year on their textbooks. A gentleman here at Ohio State University Emeritus faculty who's with OhioLINK now, his name is Steve Acker, and I'll talk about him later in his project. But he says, the cost of higher education and textbooks continues to go up, and if we can't stop this escalating trend, we will price students out of higher education. So the question becomes, will students use a digital textbook if we offer it to them? And forecasts say yes, that digital textbooks will grow. In fact, they're estimating that by 2015, annual revenues from digital textbooks will be 25% of the textbook market. And they're saying that they will equal about $1.5 billion in sales revenue. But will the students use them? Some surveys say no, they won't. In fact, there's some research done from an organization called On Campus Research, and they have surveyed periodically over the last couple of years a number of college students. And what they're finding is 75% of the college students, this one was back from March of 2011, they said if the choice was entirely theirs, they'd select a print book. So we're not quite ready yet for students to move to this digital textbook. They're quite happy with the print because they know how to use it. You just open it up and read it, whereas some of the digital ones are much more complicated because they might have more than a textbook. They might have additional things in it. These surveys done by On Campus Research, it's part of a division of the National College Stores, so some people question the validity of the results because they are being conducted by college bookstores. And some are wondering, maybe they're drawing the wrong conclusion because they're framing the question in terms of, do you want a print or do you want a digital? And maybe that's not the best question to be asking. It's really about, can you afford it, whichever version it is, and what can you afford when you decide the price point you can afford, then which one would you pick? So there are many digital textbook options available right now. And most of these, basically what they have is the traditional print textbook in a digital format. So maybe it's a PDF, maybe it's an HTML, or maybe it's something that's formatted especially for a particular ebook reader like a Kindle or a Nook or something like that. But these are basically digital forms of the static print book. And there's a variety of them out there. And what makes these just slightly better is that you can rent them, and you can rent them for a shorter period of time. So you don't have to outright buy them. And generally when you rent, the prices are a little bit more economical for the student. But as you would expect, you don't get to keep the book. So if you're a student that wants to keep the book forever and be able to return to it, you wouldn't be able to do that. But what if we had a different solution? There is one out there. It's gaining popularity. It's called Open Educational Resources, or Open Access Textbooks. basically what these are, books, documents, other educational materials, and they have three things in common. The first is they're protected by a different kind of copyright. It's called Creative Commons licensing. And this allows people to copy, share, and change the original content so long as the original author is attributed. The second thing they have in common is that they're developed by a community of authors or users, and they're intended for educational purposes. And then the third thing is they're free, which is probably the best thing about them. So they've been around for a number of years, and they started by individual faculty members who were just, you know, wanted something different. They wanted to try something new. So they started to create these textbooks or educational materials and offer them to their students. And as things grew, these aggregators came to be, aggregators like a company called Merlot, or there's one called Connections, and they started to bring together a variety of faculty chapter books, textbooks, modules on any subject and bring them together so that people could get access to these, change them, and reuse them. Some states, like in Florida, have created their own digital repository for these open educational resources. That one's called the Florida Orange Grove. And then there are some professional publishing operations that are being established as well, and one that's pretty common is called Flat World Knowledge. So open educational resources, we say that they offer the four R's of openness. The first is reuse, so you have the right to copy and use verbatim copies of the material. The second is redistribute, so you have the right to share copies with other people. The third is revise, so you can adapt and rework and improve the content to your own liking for your own classroom. And then the fourth one is remix, and you have the right to combine it into a new open educational resource that you can put out for anyone else to be able to use as well, or you keep it for yourself. There are a lot of websites, books, journals, articles, etc., about open educational resources. Some places that you might want to go for more information are the OER Consortium or the College Open Textbooks blog. They have a lot of interesting information. So what's Ohio doing with all this? Well, Ohio's doing a really good job with the open educational resources and with trying to bring the cost of digital textbooks under control. They launched a digital textbook project in 2009, one that experiments with the textbook publishers, with traditional textbook publishers, and with open educational resources. It's called the Ohio Digital Bookshelf, and their primary objective is to improve the return on investment in education by freezing the rate of the textbook prices. And they also want to increase and improve the learning outcomes of all the students that use these materials, which is great. So they have four main goals, and I'll come back to my friend Steve Acker, who's the research director of this Ohio Digital Bookshelf. Increase student learning, reduce the cost increases of textbooks, which are currently 8 to 13% per year, generate improved ROI, and what he calls escape the tragedy of the commons. And basically what he means by this is all these individual actors trying to improve their own self-interest to gain an end, but as a result, the community fails because everyone's gone off and done their own thing. There have been a number of webinars, a number of symposiums and meetings for this Ohio Digital Bookshelf. The webinars are available online to view, so you can find more information about this organization and what they are doing. And I want to give you an example from one of the webinars. There was a faculty member at Wright State University, and she was using a Flat World Knowledge book in one of her MBA courses. It was an IT type course. And when she did her class, her students had to take three quarters of this class out of the same textbook, and so she had a variety of students coming through. She used this open educational resource from Flat World Knowledge. She used it for 2 years, and what she found was students loved the pricing model. I mean, who doesn't love free? You can go to the website and view the textbook completely free, but students had the option of choosing to buy the book in print if they wanted, or as a PDF, or a downloadable format for their Kindle or their Nook, and each one of those was a different price point, but it was very small, like $20, $30, $40, very manageable. But the free copy was always there on the website. So she found the students loved it, and it increased the convenience of being able to read their textbook on their computer, wherever they happen to be. She had 281 students in her class for 1 year, and when she tallied it all up at what the cost of the textbooks she would have used would have been, a savings of $42,000 from these students. So it's a great option if we can just get it all to work. And if there's faculty members out there watching, you're thinking, well, that's great, but how do I get royalties? You can get royalties from open educational resources. Just depends on which company you're working with. Another example from Ohio, this Ohio Digital Bookshelf is part of OhioLINK, which is the library consortia of academic libraries. There's 90 of us. And we just received a grant, $750,000 grant from the Next Generation Learning Challenges Group. And basically what this will do is allow us to create some online course materials to improve college readiness and completion by students who might be in those intermediate courses before they can be enrolled into college. And it's really good for low-income students. So they just received this grant. They're going to be developing a huge network of resources available for this group. So we're very active in Ohio. One other thing I want to mention is that librarians can be quite helpful with the digital textbook implementation just by getting the word out. We know where a lot of these resources are. We can explain to you what the Creative Commons licensing options are in case you're considering writing a textbook in that fashion. Additionally, libraries are excellent at working with publishers to come to an agreement on licensing, and we're able to host content because that's what we do already. So the problem is we don't have money to go out and buy all the books for the students. But if we can some way find a way that students still pay for the textbook, but it's a larger license that runs through the library, through the bookstore, through the just campus in general, but it decreases the cost for everyone involved, that would be a great solution. So this is just a slice of options available for digital textbooks. I believe they are on the rise, and we'll see a lot more of them. If you would like more information, you're welcome to visit my blog, which is called No Shelf Required. I've had this blog for 3 years, and it talks about ebooks and libraries, and a lot of it is now becoming more conversation on digital textbooks. And everything that I've mentioned in the session today is on a blog post, and you can contact me with any other questions you might have. Thank you.
Wright State University librarian Sue Palenka speaking on the rise of digital textbooks.